Today, October the 7th, marks 1 year since the war in Gaza began. 12 months ago, Hamas fighters invaded southern Israel, and this became the deadliest day in Israel's history. The following day, that country started its ground invasion into Gaza, declaring a state of war against Hamas, the terrorist group Hamas. And since then, the conflict has escalated to include Hezbollah in Lebanon, as well as forces in Iran. Figures from the Gazan Health Ministry show nearly 42,000 people have been killed since the start of the conflict. The Israeli government says more than 1,700 of its own citizens have also been killed. New Zealander Mike Seawright is the executive director and founder of Relief Aid, which is an international humanitarian organisation which has been operating in Gaza since the conflict began. And I spoke to Mike a little earlier on today.
We founded Relief Aid in 2015 to help families in war zones. And as the Gaza conflict unfolded in the early stages of October last year, we obviously felt that it was absolutely necessary to get in there and help families. It's been a bit of a rough road. We've lost three staff late last year. We're continuing to deliver life-saving water, I have to say. I'm proud of our team that continues to do that under pretty horrendous conditions. And to date, we've provided food and water to over 400,000 people in Gaza. So still cracking on.
It is a year on from the initial attack by Hamas on Israel. Did you imagine that you folks would still be operating in Gaza a year on from that?
None of us imagined, Emil, that we would still be needed in Gaza. When we talk to our team in Gaza itself, they tell us they feel abandoned. In fact, they feel, all Gazans feel, like the world has abandoned them. They're continuing to see systematic destruction of homes, hospitals and schools. People are still desperate. This is 1 year on for food and water. There's lots of political talk, but as Gaza would see and as Gazans would see, no meaningful action, no ceasefire, no peace and no solution to the problem going forward. They really don't see any end to the conflict as it currently stands. It's terrible.
Mike, what? Tell me a bit about the reality of working in this sort of environment. I mean, like even from an aid point of view, you know, there are many organisations, all with their own, you know, aims and goals and ways of getting of doing what they want to do. It must just be an extraordinarily chaotic environment.
Yeah, we work in Afghanistan, Ukraine, Syria, and Gaza. Soon to start up in Lebanon. And I have to say, Gaza is by far the hardest place that we're currently working. Mm-hmm. Getting into Gaza, getting aid across the border is all but impossible at the moment for the Rafah border closed. Mm-hmm. We're lucky we've running a water program within Gaza. This means we can secure the trucks, the fuel and the water itself to get it out to families without being restricted by the border crossings. But nonetheless, the security situation inside the country is absolutely dire. Every day our teams are going out wondering if they're going to come back home at the end of the day. Their own families they're worried about. They're constantly living in fear of losing one of their own kids at any moment. Mm. They're absolutely exhausted by the world's silence, and yet every day getting up and going out and delivering aid. It's a testament to Gazans in general, but also to our team who every day have to deal with all these practical problems of their families and still get out and go to work and help their fellow citizens. It's absolutely amazing.
What is protecting aid workers, like those who work for Relief Aid and others such as yourselves, from the danger, the ever-present danger when you are in Gaza?
I mean, it's a great question, and actually a question we're constantly asking ourselves. Are there actual protections of humanitarian workers in Gaza? Well, the answer we would say is no. We ourselves have lost three staff members bombed in their homes last year. Nonetheless, there are a number of aid workers since the beginning of this current conflict that have been killed delivering aid on a daily basis. The UN have lost staff, other international aid agencies who were clearly showing their presence by having logos on roofs and of vehicles and so forth, have lost their lives. The entire humanitarian sector inside Gaza are asking themselves, are they safe? And the short answer is we are not safe. We're having to take exhaustive security measures, making sure as much as we can that roads are safe, that they're not, that they're free of fighting. And nonetheless, even when you take all those precautions, aid workers are continuing to be killed. This is not acceptable. Aid workers, along with civilians, are not targets, and should not be targeted when they're simply there to help people.
In a sense, it's startling that people who understand the risks are willing to put themselves in a situation like that. But I suppose that speaks to the wider mission and the greater purpose that you folks have.
Well, I'm constantly amazed at our teams, not just in Gaza, actually, Emil, right across the countries that we work. They go to work every day knowing the dangers that they face. They go to work knowing their families face danger, and yet every day they get out there and continue to do the job. Even when faced with losing friends and family, they're still out there helping their fellow citizen. They're still out there trying to make a difference in a world and in a war that is simply putting them in the crossfire of the fighting. So when I have a bad day and I am exhausted myself for travelling, trying to find the funds to keep our aid deliveries working, I simply think of our teams who are having to live day by day under the bombs, and I think no matter what I have to put up with, it's a world better than what they are having to do.
Have you been there yourself, Mike?
I've travelled to all of our other aid countries, such as Afghanistan and Ukraine. I just came out of Ukraine recently on my trip coming through to Canada. I must admit, I haven't yet been into Gaza. I had planned to go there a few months ago, but the Rafah border crossing has closed, stopping international workers moving across the border. In fact, anyone moving across the border either way. So we're waiting for that border to open, and then I'll be in visiting our teams.
Maybe especially from a distance, it must be very difficult in your position, particularly when you get calls like you have gotten saying a member of your team has died while they were trying to help.
Yeah, it wasn't one of the things when we set up Relief Aid in 2015 I was hoping to have to experience. I find it at a personal level extremely difficult. These are people under my care, under our team's care. We take a responsibility for them, but also they are our friends and colleagues. Our team, for example, in Syria, we lost two in 2016. We've worked with them for 10 years now. These are people we're talking to every single day, including our team in Gaza. When they pass or their family pass, it takes a huge toll on me personally, but also our team back in New Zealand. But also, we've got to remember what our team members in places like Gaza are going through. Ahmed is one of our, is actually our team leader in southern Gaza at the moment. He is, I would say, one of our most resilient staff members. He leads the team. As part of that, he has to stay positive and has constantly stayed positive through the war, to the extent that when his own home was bombed, he was telling us, I may have lost my house, but I haven't lost my home. So here he was showing absolute resilience in the face of losing everything that he owned. But even him, today, we were speaking to him, was talking about personally struggling with the trauma of what he's been through. He's telling us he can't forget the screams of children or their mothers who have lost kids. And every day he's thinking, that's my friends, that's my neighbours. Is this going to happen to one of my own kids at any moment in time? So what we suffer in terms of losing our friends and colleagues outside of Gaza is nothing compared to what our teams in Gaza are going through on a daily basis.
Gee, war is hell, isn't it? I mean, it's an easy thing to say. But I guess maybe that's a... That must be a challenge for your kind of line of work, is communicating the severity can be difficult sometimes, both because of how different this environment is to how, you know, the vast majority of people in New Zealand to what we can relate to, but also perhaps because people don't want to think about this kind of stuff, and you can't necessarily blame people for that. I guess talk a bit about that if you wouldn't mind, about sort of the message that you want to get out there to people in New Zealand.
Well, I think the first message we have to remember living in places like New Zealand is we are lucky. New Zealand is not free of problems. We have our own poverty issues. We have our own social challenges in New Zealand. And these are difficult things for Kiwis to deal with. But nonetheless, we're not getting bombs dropped on us on a daily basis. We're not losing our homes to bombs that fall from the sky or shot as we go down the road to get bread or food for our kids. While we may go hungry, because many kids in New Zealand do go hungry, of course, there's still food available to get, whereas in Gaza at the moment, getting any food is difficult. We're getting massive cases of food insecurity and food crisis happening in Gaza now. When we need water from the tap, we simply turn the tap on. In Gaza, 94% of water there's been a reduction of 94% of water across Gaza now. Can you imagine not being able to wash, let alone get the water needed to survive on a daily basis? So this is a terrible situation, and it's very difficult for us in New Zealand, and here I am in Canada at the moment, to understand. But also the important message I think we like to convey to New Zealanders and to, as I'm here in Canada, is that there is hope. And there's hope because good people doing good things in New Zealand, such as fundraisers for the likes of a Relief Aid and other aid organisations who are working in conflict zones around the world, when you do a fundraiser there, it actually delivers assistance in a place that's absolutely needed. In the case of our work in Gaza, cash that's provided today turns into water in Gaza tomorrow. And this means that we can make a difference. And while the problem may look big, all we have to do is do one action, and families in another part of the world, in this case Gaza, will literally survive. So I think there's still a lot of hope, despite the fact that the problems are massive in Gaza. But to turn hope into reality, we need to show action. And this is the thing we keep trying to tell, or convey, I should say, to New Zealanders. Let's take action. Let's try and make a difference.
Mike, just finally on this, you know, I mean, you know this better than anyone. This is a hugely polarising issue, what is happening in the Middle East, in Gaza, and the Middle East more broadly. There are strong feelings on all sides of this. Reasonable people can differ significantly on their opinions of this, and that's all well and good. If you, though, were to have the ear of powerful actors in this space to send a message, what would the substance of that message be?
I think the message is pretty simple, and that is remember the families. This war on both sides, in Israel and in Gaza, are having a horrific impact on families. If this was your family sitting there getting bombed again in either side, what would you be doing? Would you be wanting your families put in danger? And as a result, what we're doing is calling for an unconditional immediate ceasefire in Gaza so that families are not going to continue to be trapped by the bullets and the bombs that fly among and through them. And this is a ceasefire that's required on both sides, not just one.
Mike C. Wright, thanks very much for your time. Really appreciate it, and for the work that you're doing over there.
Thanks, Emil.
That is Mike C. Wright, a New Zealander, who is the executive director and founder of the international humanitarian organisation Relief Aid, which has been operating in Gaza since late last year.